Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Eric Messersmith here, along with Cam Jansen, Hanny Yates, Matt Whitener. TJ is out today. We're at Randall's Wine and Spirits, 1910 South Jefferson, right off of 44 by Johnny
Magnificent.
Brox. It's awesome, man.
It's great. I mean, they got everything here.
Every kind of alcohol you could pretty much imagine. Right, it's like a warehouse of
it
alcohol.
It is. That's exactly what
it's
it is.
It's a Johnny Brox of booze.
Yeah. No kidding.
And it's right next door.
Make sure you come on by and see us. They also have a tasting event for Tito's Vodka. That's starting at 4.
Also magnificent.
Yes, and they've got it on sale right behind us. They got deals going on.
I want
right
to drive
now.
This Tito's, what is this, a Winnebago?
It's really cool, actually.
I'm going to drive it home. Just ride around town in there.
Well, they have it completely redone, so you can go in there and hang out. They got lots of seating.
We need to be doing the show in there.
I agree. I thought it was going to be in there. I was kind of disappointed.
855-282-8255 on the text line. Real quick, on the Robert thing, the texter from the 618 points this out. The problem is the Cardinals have no idea what the Sox bid. And we're talking about Luis Robert, in case you're just joining us, the 19-year-old Cuban phenom who can sign with the team starting tomorrow. And it's been reported that the Cardinals and the White Sox are the two are the teams most likely to sign him. And I believe that is right. I believe it is a blind bidding. The point I was trying to make was if we learn what the bids were and the Cardinals' bid just doesn't seem to stack up, I think it's okay as a Cardinal fan to be a little disappointed with that. Like, hey, everybody knows this guy's legit. If you don't make a bid that at least is pretty freaking competitive. Now, if you bid like $30 million and the White Sox bid $50 million, well, okay. You know, you live with that. But if the White Sox bid $40 and you bid $15,
you know what?
Well, that's hard to live with.
That's dumb on the White Sox.
You know what the rhetoric's going to be, though, no matter what. Oh, the Cardinals
are cheap.
They don't want to spend money.
Well, look, if the bid is really low, I think that's potentially legitimate.
It's not. They just gave Dexter Fowler $80 million. They just spent the third most money in all of free agency this offseason.
They did.
Cheap
they
teams don't do
quarter
that.
Billion.
Look, no. Look, I'm not saying the Cardinals are cheap overall, but I'm saying especially with the new TV deal coming in, there's if you think this guy is a stud, if you believe that, then I think this the kind of guy you stretch a little bit to get, is my point. Alex Rodriguez.
Speaking of which.
Alex Rodriguez is now doing some play-by-play work for Fox Sports 1, and there was a picture of him in the booth with some notes, you know, because he's a good broadcaster, and he wants to make sure he has his notes for the game.
Hannah keeps notes.
Yeah, Hannah keeps notes. And A-Rod's notes were a little questionable, though. On one of the pages, there was a headline of child, and then underneath there, it said birth control baby pull-out stuff. The Fox Sports MLB page deleted the tweet, but screenshots of it, luckily, remain. Above that list.
Which direction was he going with it?
That's a good question. Above the list, there was also a sentence written by A-Rod that says, we should be talking about why we haven't spoken about it. And then he lists child, birth control, baby, pull-out stuff. What do you guys make of that?
I have no idea what the hell you're even talking about.
Hannah,
child,
can you decipher
baby,
that
what?
For us? What do you think, A-Rod
I'm
meant?
Confused. I don't know why he has those at work. Why do you let those be seen publicly?
I didn't know that it was a thing you needed to keep a scorecard to figure out.
Yeah. Was he writing notes of what he's going to text someone?
Let me defend A-Rod here. Look, sometimes
is he auditioning for J-Lo?
Sometimes you yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah, is J-Lo happy? Is this J-Lo or is this not?
I gotta say she's probably ecstatic about this.
What if it's not her?
He's not trying to impregnate me. All right,
well,
let's go.
How old is J-Lo now?
J-Lo can still do it.
Do you think she still?
Oh yeah, look at her. Top five breeder of the last 10 years.
J-Lo?
Oh yeah.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, and he's dating.
Hot,
he's dating her. But I was suggesting maybe she's to the point where this might not be an issue to have children.
What's she in her 40s?
She's like late 40s, isn't
oh,
she?
Oh, she's fine.
Okay. Oh, I don't know if she's that old even.
Yeah, she is.
Is she?
Yeah. Yeah, she was.
She doesn't look it.
She was completely grown when I was like a small child.
But anyway, it's interesting. Like, I understand sometimes you're taking notes, right? And you have a thought in your head and you want to get it down on paper, okay? So maybe A-Rod, these thoughts came to his mind. He wanted to make sure he got him down. It just so happened they were on with his work notes.
Wait, but I mean, in what situation in life have you ever had to list your pullout methods?
I know. Ow. You should figure that out a long time ago, bro.
Well, I like how he wrote child birth control pullout stuff.
I mean, at least he's being, at least he's being direct.
He's being safe.
Thorough and safe.
What does pull out stuff mean?
That's a great question, Hannah. Let me tell you about the birds and the bees here. Sometimes when a man and woman love each other. No,
please stop while you're ahead. Please.
Sometimes if that guy's just bought that girl a drink, he's acting like he loves her.
But I just love how he wrote birth control, then underneath that baby, then pull out stuff. Like, it just seems like an odd way to
why are you buying birth control?
Oh.
Why is he buying it? Well, why is he buying it?
Maybe he wants to be extra safe.
But why is he buying it
when
for
has
her?
Alex Rodriguez ever been known for his...
Guys buy their girls birth control?
If they're living together or dating or whatever their situation is, maybe.
That's a thing? You sure?
I don't know.
It's not. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, you know,
Alex might have had a double dose of mentality. Oh, he's got to be real
or
careful.
Or he needs it if he's buying that stuff. I mean, my God. Well, good she's for, making you buy
well,
her
no,
birth
what,
control
you know what?
Stuff.
No. Good for A-Rod. I'm glad that A-Rod has taken his life in a new turn where he's safe with his drugs now as opposed to just, you know, using them all willy-nilly. I mean, it doesn't matter. He's got $500 million in the bank. He can do whatever he wants to do.
Maybe he's having a child. Should we start that rumor?
Well, you know, I don't want to...
Sources, allegedly.
Allegedly.
Look, when he wrote above it, he wrote above that, quote, we should be talking about why we haven't spoken about it, and then writes child underlined.
I think that was the start of a text he's going to send to someone.
It could be. He's getting his thoughts together. It's just interesting it would be in the baseball broadcast booth.
What? Like, what is he thinking?
Well, if you've ever listened to A-Rod talk, he doesn't strike me as the sharpest tool in the shed.
He's a really good baseball analyst.
Well, he's good on air. Yeah,
phenomenal.
I will say that.
With that. He looks great, too.
He's a good-looking guy, yeah, and he's a heck of an athlete.
Yeah, he's easily a top 10 most studly guy that's played sports in the last 20 years. Easy.
It's a bold statement.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be. Top 20, at least. Brady, A-Rod. I don't know. Who else, Hannah?
Wow. Why would
I don't
you go
know.
To
My
Hannah?
Taste
so
is
sexist.
Always
How
different.
About you? How about you, Cam?
God, I like a lot of guys.
Well, we know that.
Yeah, this is where we miss TJ right now. TJ would have had 10 guys ready to go like that.
100%.
Breaking news. Derek Gould, the Cardinal writer for the Post-Dispatch, and our colleague here at 590, he just tweeted out, Johnny Peralta joining the roster, Sierra is out. So has there you go. Sierra,
has there ever been a more steep decline in talent in one move?
Sierra sent down, Johnny Peralta coming back. That's interesting because now, without Piscotty, there's no fourth outfielder.
No, it's Johnny Peralta.
You can put Johnny Peralta
or
on
Led
the field.
Misty.
Or a Led Misty. Or Matt Adams.
Or Matt Adams.
Or Eric Fryer.
Yep. You just play it day by day and
yeah,
just
Mike
throw
Leake.
Whoever's healthy out there.
I don't know.
This must mean Piscotty's really close.
Right.
What's Rhett Chandy's doing? Can he get on the roster?
This must mean – I mean, Piscotty has to be really close.
Oh,
there's
also,
no way
in more breaking news, TJ just texted me and said Brady in all caps with about six Ys.
You said Brady.
No, but he wants to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Brady. Tom Brady's top five
It's
life.
Good to see TJ's listening even when he's not here. That's how dedicated he is to the
show.
That's
how boring he is.
He is.
And speaking of Tom Brady, he was not diagnosed with a concussion last year, according to his agent, Don Yee, telling ESPN that Tom was not diagnosed. Many of the protocols and safeguards are still evolving. It's obviously a good thing the organization and everyone close to him is vigilant and always looking out for his health. So there you go. Apparently Giselle's crazy. He is not. I was reading through this, and Tom Brady, because we were talking about this the other day, of how many concussions do you think Brady had over his career or any quarterback that plays a lot. He's never officially been diagnosed with a concussion.
I would like to hear Tom's comments on this. I'm ready to see the corner that he's
I don't think
painted
we're ever
in
get
with
that.
This. No, he's going to have to address it. There's no way.
He will dance right around everything, though.
He's not fast enough to dance. He's going to have to take this one head on. He's got to, right? I mean, you've got to address this at some point.
Yeah, you probably do. But you know what?
What do you say?
What you say is, my wife.
She messed up.
She got confused.
My wife's got a concussion.
Yeah. she meant she was concussed. I wasn't.
Man, well, now that I think about it, maybe he's better off just saying nothing.
Yeah,
he's not going to say.
Yeah,
I really don't think he will.
Sometimes you just don't.
Can't
say
correct
anything.
Her now.
On Brandon in St. Charles on the text line says, I said it before the season started, the Cardinals need to cut ties with Peralta.
You can
and then
say
he
that.
Called him a fat ass afterwards.
You know what? He's actually in pretty good shape.
Yeah, he's lost some weight, if anything.
He's a guy. He's about Cam size.
Look.
Oh, no, he's bigger than that.
Oh, well, okay.
Thank you.
The thing
Ew.
About Peralta, I understand. Hannah, why are you such a dirty
Cam
mind?
Because Cam did that, and
I
he looked right
anything.
At me and knew
Randall's,
exactly what he was implying.
I didn't do anything.
Randall's is bringing out the Hannah and
I
Hannah.
I think Cam is innocent in this one.
I think I'm innocent, too.
I blame you. I blame you, Hannah.
But you're right on that. He is bigger than me.
The thing about Peralta is I can understand. Like, a lot of people are saying, I'll just cut ties with him. Look, you're probably not going to get anything for him right now. His trade value's never been lower. You're not just going to eat the money with that guy. He had a nice spring training. He got that upper respiratory thing. He had the bad reaction to the medicine. Give him a chance. Like, give him some time. He's obviously not going
to
come
back.
You're
going to have
to
give him a chance.
Role.
I agree with
give
that,
give him a
too.
Little bit of time. And then if we get to, like, June or July, we get close to the trade deadline, and it's just not working out, and he's not giving you anything, and you need to cut bait at that time. You know,
you can't bury him now. You got to give him another shot. He's making good money. He's a veteran guy. Put him in. Let's see what he does. If he goes in, he doesn't do anything for another 10 games. Now there's your decision. Do what you got to do with him.
Who right now in the St. Louis power rankings of despised athletes is higher, Laterra or Peralta?
Laterra's bottom of the totem pole, dude.
Lower than Johnny Peralta?
Absolutely.
No, but you have to compare. It's
I'm not comparing popularity. No, as far as. No way in hell. Laterra is bottom of the totem pole.
I don't know. I really don't know because
Peralta's
just
been injured. I mean, he's
no,
been playing bad.
Oh, but he was disliked by Cardinals Nation for a while for his performance before he was injured.
Like Laterra bad?
I think I agree with him on this.
That's
one.
Because you hate Laterra.
No, I do not hate Laterra. I have no
hear it
personal
everywhere.
Feeling for him one way or the other.
I can't believe you haven't noticed that, Hannah. Like, everywhere you
no,
look,
no, I've noticed it, but you hear that a lot more because you're around hockey a lot more as opposed to around baseball.
Yeah.
And I feel like, I don't know, if you'd, you know, go around Bush and talk about
well,
it.
Well, then there's my answer, though. I'm around it more because I hear it every single day, everywhere
right.
I go, and to a point where I had to be like, okay, Eric.
And
enough.
Would
no
you say
more making fun of him.
The difference kind of is that Johnny Peralta hasn't always been a bad player by any means.
Well,
his performance
to be fair,
he's older and he's not playing well.
Laterra's
you know?
Not been bad.
But
Laterra was really
had
good.
Great years before that, previously,
Peralta, yeah.
as opposed to Laterra hasn't had really great years. He's kind of been there, and then he got a really great contract. He's had good years.
Well,
better than
he
this,
hasn't. He had,
but not to where.
Laterra
had
one,
he
had
one
oak,
good
he had
year, his rookie year.
44 points.
Yeah, he had 44 right. points, and he
so
showed.
So it wasn't crazy, and I think no. the difference is people don't think that Laterra deserved his contract, and then he's completely underperformed.
Look, Army was expecting Laterra to hit 60 points, 65 points a year.
Ooh.
Yeah, dude, 4.75, that's 60 points, man.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, it is.
He was
50 to 60 points,
yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Doug Armstrong said we thought he'd be a 50-point guy. That's what he said last week when he talked about Laterra, and I can understand why you would think that after 1 year, but like we talked about the guys before, sometimes you want to see a guy do it for more than a year.
Yeah. You need a larger sample size.
Look, sometimes you got to take a risk too. But again, it didn't work out. I mean, it didn't. He's slow. If Yakupov knew how to hit and he hit like a truck, he would be effective because he's quick, he can get into the zone, he can get in and disrupt their other D. But he doesn't hit, so he doesn't have that extra element, that toughness element to go with his quickness, and then therefore he's irrelevant.
Who's the big? That is a great question, though. Who's the biggest St. Louis sports whipping boy right now? Is there anyone else we're missing now that Matt Holliday is not here? Yeah, now that Matt Holliday is not here anymore, I think it probably is between those
it's
two.
It's Laterra right and Adams was getting hit on pretty hard for a little bit there in left field.
Yeah, has anybody been set up for failure more than that?
Yeah, and I think like, people blame the manager almost more than
you're
than
right.
They blame Adams,
yeah,
he
Adams is like, what do you
spot.
Want me to do here?
Right, I'm doing the best
I
can.
Know.
I lost a bunch of weight. I'm in good shape.
Yeah,
he put
did.
Me out here.
Yeah, he worked hard, man.
Make me look stupid. Peralta, he's just been terrible this year. 3 for 25. He was hitting 120 with a 305 OPS and had some of the worst. Advanced stats I've ever seen. Small sample size. But
I tell
again,
you, another run for the money would be Bomeister.
He
gets bashed.
Yeah.
Dude.
Although I will, Bomeister, I think that because he was actually pretty decent at the end of the year and then in the playoffs.
This
after
is why
the coaching
this is
change.
Why these guys get bashed, man. If you don't play a physical style like that and you don't put up a lot of points and you're not flashy and you make a lot of money, you are going to get ripped on in this town. Now, if you don't put a lot of points up, but you're smashing guys around and you have like you shows that you have heart. Not that Bomeister doesn't, but it doesn't show competitiveness. But this is not his style. Just like Petro, I mean, he's not a flashy guy. He's just very slows the game down a bit. So fans just, man, they're hard on you. They really are, and it, especially with Jay Bomeister, more than anybody else, I think.
And I think to Hannah's point, it with Peralta, he had been productive multiple seasons for the
right.
Cardinals, and that really helped. The fact that he had a couple of really good years, and now he's in the last year of his contract, he is an older guy, whereas Laterra is at least theoretically in the prime of his career.
I feel like Johnny Peralta, though, caught a bad rap from the beginning. I mean, I think that people really weren't happy with that deal when it happened. So I think from the very beginning, people just had decided they weren't going to like him. Even when he was making all-star teams, and even when he really, I mean, they said he's a bad defensive shortstop, when he never really killed the team there. I mean, he's no better or no worse than Aledmys Diaz is, but Diaz gets a completely different reception from the fan base than Peralta does. And I don't think it's fair, because there's been times that Johnny Peralta carried the team. Is he past his relevancy now? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. There's not a place for him on this team right now. But he did what he was supposed to do. I wouldn't say by any means that contract is a bad contract, whereas if the case with Laterra and even Bomeister, you can say those are bad deals.
Right, especially with Laterra. At least Bomeister played at a really high level.
Bomeister's a top-four defenseman.
Right, and still
is 27 minutes a night. So it's hard to judge it compared to Laterra, who's really doesn't do much at all.
And to Maddie's point, Peralta was probably the MVP of the first half of the season when you had a 101 year in 2015. I mean, he was probably your best hitter for the first half of that season and one of your best players overall that season offensively for a team that won 100 games. On the text line, 314 says Bomeister. Another shooter, McGavin, says Colton Wong, F that dude. I wouldn't say that. We had Colton on yesterday. And
he's a good dude.
Look, Colton Wong was a whipping boy. It still is to some extent. But I think the fact that he has produced, and we talked about this yesterday when we had him on,
right
now he's having a career season. He's playing well defensively. He's matured, clearly. I'm not just saying that because we talked to him. I mean, he seems like he's come into his own now. So I feel like maybe that's died down a little bit with Wong now.
Oh, no doubt about it.
And I feel like if his contract wasn't as big as it was so soon, then people wouldn't be having as many issues with him.
Way too many people equate value of player to the money that they make, and that's not a fair line to draw. The money you make is based on the value that you carry in the market and when you sign that deal.
I tell you what, though, it's going to help Colton Wong. It's his work ethic. Whether he botches a couple plays in the infield or he strikes out a bunch, he still works hard, and that's very noticeable. And you could tell that he's passionate about things. And sometimes fans will give you a break when you're like that, whether you make a lot of money or not, or whether you make mistakes or not. If you're passionate and they know that your work ethic is there, man, they'll kind of give you a break.
Colton does what you need to do. He has a glove. He's right now checking the day. He's third in the National League in on base percentage.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he's doing what you need to do.
Yeah.
He's not going to be an MVP. That's just not who he is. But I mean, it solves a. It's not a problem. He's a steady player. He's doing it. And I tell you what. That's what you want. That's what I think Johnny Peralta was for a long time, was a steady guy. He's just a guy that's past his prime now. So,
yeah.
I mean, but he's got to play. And you got to see if you're going to be able to get anything for him. He's got to be out there. His value is not going to raise up being the 13th guy on the bench.
And, again, the news that got us talking about this, if you're just tuning in, just leaving work, Johnny Peralta coming back to the Cardinals off the disabled list today, and Mag Sierra being sent back down to the minors. This is such a I probably would have sent Tui Valala down right now, because even if Piscotty's coming back soon, why risk going with three outfielders even for a couple of days when you could send Tui Valala down, go back to seven relievers, which is what they had at the beginning of the year, and then you keep Sierra up here for at least a few more days so you still have four outfielders until Piscotty comes back. It just seems a little strange to me, because you're going to I assume they're going to send Tui Valala down when Piscotty comes back anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So why not do it today? And now, because what if somebody gets hurt tonight? What if one of the outfielders gets hurt? I mean, I guess we'll see Diaz in left field or Matt Adams. But I just feel like that was something you wouldn't even need to put yourself in that position. Seems strange to me.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why didn't Mo call me to consult me on this? Because I would have told him I don't like this move, and I would have told him to think about it.
Well, Cam was supposed to tell Mike Matheny what time it was.
I was going to go out there just to talk to Mike Matheny, just to have something to say on the show.
Give him some advice.
I was honestly, you think I wanted to shoot clays, pigeons? I didn't. But I'd go out there just to say hey to him, man, and then have some for the show, but that didn't turn out.
Well, Cam, you've said repeatedly that you have no ambitions of working in the front office, that that's more or less a thing for Marty, not you. You're where you need to be right now.
They don't want me anywhere near that front
office. So maybe you don't want to do it for the Blues, but why not the Cardinals, Cam?
I could do it for
maybe
the Cardinals.
Maybe we need to go outside the box a little bit.
Me and Billy talked about this already.
God, I hope
you are
not.
A baseball mind. That's who you're born to be.
No, I am. I got baseball toughness, too.
That's true. 855-282-8255 on the text line. 314 says, oh, this is Shooter again. Shooter McGavin says, Wong matured for at most a month and a half. Seems like a stretch to say. Look, I think the way he handled
his. Well, he still has.
Going, first of all, I think he has matured. And I wouldn't just say in the last month. I think going back to last year, how he handled that demotion when he got demoted yet again. He went down. I didn't hear him complain. He killed it at AAA, and then he came back and played well at the end of the year. And, yes, he did have that blow-up in spring training briefly that all of us jumped on him for. But I thought he explained that well yesterday when he was on the program. He said, look, I was working on things in spring training, and I wasn't necessarily trying to – I wasn't looking at the bottom line production. I was going up there tinkering with my swing, working on different things. And when I heard that – that there might be a platoon, I reacted. And you know what he did? Right away, he went, I think it was Ben Fred, wasn't it, who wrote the story?
Yes.
He went back to Ben Fred, corrected what he said, and he's been a model citizen since then.
I like that.
I think that shows maturity.
Sometimes you say the wrong thing, or sometimes you say something, and then you write it down, and you look at it, and you read it, and you're like, okay.
And luckily, Ben Fred's a respectful journalist who does take that into account and tells that side of the story and fixes it and updates it, because I've seen a lot of situations where that doesn't happen because they want to tell the story and frame the athlete to be a certain way for more clicks.
Cam, with the media that you had when you were in New Jersey, if you would have said something like that, would it have been doubled back on?
They would have been good with me, man. I've said stupid things. And it wasn't – they would just talk to me about something, and they'd have – I give an example. Like, they asked me something about me and Marty having a contest of who's going to get more points over the year, mm-hmm. Which is stupid for a forward to have that, even have a conversation with a goaltender about who's going to have more points. That just shows how pathetic I was. but then they'd ask me about it, and we'd talk about it, like, yeah, we got a bunch of money down, a bet. And you can't do that. You can't bet. I mean, this is just a little example, but they would correct stuff like that, or I'd say something like, God, I wanted to kill him. Well, I didn't necessarily want to kill him.
You didn't mean it literally. Like when TJ said he wanted to kill my sister yesterday.
No,
he didn't mean that literally.
Who knows what
especially
the hell
since
he's
I don't
thinking.
Have a sister.
But you know what I mean? Like, oh, but if you write that down, Cam wanted to kill him. Oh, okay. Well, geez.
Sounds bad.
Sounds terrible. Even though I still did, to be completely honest with you. But
that's fair.
But you get my point.
On the text line, texters coming in. Crash says, makes even less sense sending Sierra down with Dex not 100%. Absolutely. What if he tweaks that shoulder? There's just a lot of things that could go wrong.
That I agree with.
From the 636, fans hate Laterra more than anyone else, not just because he's being overpaid, but also because he performs so horribly while sharing a line with the team's best scorer for most of the season, not to mention hitches and the team's refusal to move him off the line. I 1,000% agree with that.
Right. Yeah, me too.
Some of that is on Hitch, though. To be fair, like, Laterra was better when you expected less of him and when he was more of a defensive-minded forward on the third line, because that's kind of the role he should serve in the NHL. So, yes, a lot of that's on Laterra. He underperformed, but a lot of it's on Hitch, too.
Absolutely.
For trying to force him to be something he just wasn't.
No doubt. And when, and for him to be that guy to try to set up your superstar, that just kind of digs it a little deeper into you, man. Like, my God.
My question always is about who are you putting the blame on? Is Laterra supposed to say, no, man, I'm not a $4.5 million player. I'm not taking it. That's delayed anger against the player who took a contract that was offered to him when it's on the GM. Be mad at Army.
Yeah, it's Army's fault. It's part Hitch's fault. But I blame the players, man. I mean, you're supposed to perform. You know, like, gosh almighty, you did pretty good in your rookie year. You got 18 goals, I think, with 44 points. That's pretty damn good. You get rewarded. I need to see something. I just didn't see anything out of him at all. I mean, yeah, he would try that one playoff game where he kind of he dropped the gloves that night. But he was getting in on the forecheck. So my point is, you could see where he had the potential to be disruptive on the forecheck, to be that guy in front of the net, do this, do that.
but he just he didn't bring it. He didn't bring it consistently.
I think Laterra is still in the zone right now where he could be redeemed. If he came back next year and he played well, even if you don't want him here, if he's here and he becomes the Johnny Peralta of this club, like it sounds like he is, if he comes back and plays well to the point you made yesterday, this town will appreciate it if you live up to the level you're supposed to.
100%.
Look at Mike Leake right now.
Yes.
Who was getting chirped nonstop last year for making $15, $14 million and then not living up to that contract.
Absolutely. You could always redeem yourself in this town, I'll tell you that right now. But he's got a lot of work to do.
Well, and he scored, you know, during the playoffs, and people credited him for that. He came back after he had been injured and healthy scratch, and he came back and he performed, you know, better than he had for I would say what
he had
maybe
one or two games.
He had one good game.
That is really,
and so you
he
know,
had one
but
game.
I think people were still trying to say, you know, he was on the first line, so he should be performing that well. If you would put him, you know, on the fourth line or keep him there during the season, and he did perform, you know, like how he did during that game, I think he could redeem himself. I don't personally see that really happening. I think you kind of saw what you're going to get with him this season, and I think that people are upset because you have a $4 million player, healthy scratch, majority of the games. Like, that's unacceptable.
You can't put him on the fourth line because he's not a fourth line kind of player.
Right.
You can't put him on the third line because
why?
That's where he was before.
Yeah, that's where he was playing a lot better.
But if he's not taking faceoffs well and getting in on the forecheck and things like that, then he's just so irrelevant. And the one, he had played one decent game where I even tweeted a couple of things out how he was just getting in on the forecheck. He was creating plays in front of the net. But other than that, he completely fell off the face of the earth, just like David Perron did. And he, you know, but again, you could see where he could have been effective because of that game, and saw how he did what he needed to do. But he just never saw it again.
It's kind of a moot point. He's not going to be here.
They're
going to get rid of him. We
shouldn't even be.
Yeah, I find it almost unfathomable that Doug Armstrong will bring him back.
No, they'll
give somebody an asset, probably Vegas or somebody, to take him. But you never know.
I think that a lot of things you said right there, that if they would have had Sobotka here earlier in the year, you wouldn't have had such a prolonged look at him being exposed in that position. So, once again, sometimes the struggles go to the player, to your point, Cam, but I also think sometimes coaches and GMs and everything put guys in that position.
It's a combined.
They take that.
Yep, combined
Eric,
rule.
Cam, Matt, and Hannah with you here from Randall's Wine and Spirits, 1910 South Jefferson, right off of I-44 by Johnny Brox. It's the Hard Line here on 590 The Fan.
For everything you want to know, for everything you need to know, live on radio. Here's Matt Rocchio with the Hardline News Update.
Cardinals kick off a three-game series against the San Francisco Giants at Busch tonight. Michael Wacha will take on the lefty Matt Moore. Moore on the season, 2-4 with a 5.67 ERA, and has been especially bad in the away games. He is 0-3 on the season with a 10.5 ERA in away games. Cardinals could take advantage of that tonight, and here's a lineup that might have a shot at it. Fowler, Pham, Carpenter, Jerko, Molina, Diaz, Grichik, Wong, and the pitcher spot, Wacha. Quick change to the Cardinals bench as Derek Gould is reporting that Magnary Sierra has been sent down, and Johnny Peralta will be called up for the Cardinals. And the docket for tonight, the Cavaliers and Celtics game 2 of their Eastern Conference final series. While in the NHL, it's the Penguins and the Senators in game 4 there. Matt Murray will start for Marc-Andre Fleury in net for the Penguins. In action right now, the Brewers leading the Cubs 4-3 in the top of the 6th, but that game has been delayed by rain. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Rock. And this is the Hardline, powered by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.